Welcome, Washington Defenders. I'm Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, and we are here with Jackson. And Jackson, you happen to be an attorney, is that right?
I am an attorney, yes. I plead guilty.
You plead guilty. Well, we will forgive you for that from the very beginning here. I just wanted to start out and just hear about a little bit about yourself and who you are and the practice that you run, and then what are some things you're doing in the public square?
Sure. I've been an attorney for about 23 years. I love the practice of law. I just, from the beginning, have always enjoyed it. I find it to not just be a terrific intellectual challenge, but also a wonderful way to help people with real problems.
Yeah.
And there's a saying that and you're a pastor, you can probably appreciate this, that the law is a secular priesthood, that you kind of say these magic words and you can make things happen. And I think there's some truth to that. The clergy and the legal profession were very closely related early on.
And as you know or may not know, I was CEO of Peacemaker Ministries. So we did formal mediation, arbitrations.
Oh, that's right.
And I would bring the spiritual advice, and I would usually have an attorney with me to bring the legal advice.
Sure.
And so we would work together. So I totally agree with what you're saying.
There is, definitely a spiritual component to the work that everybody does. So if you're a believer, and I certainly approach my work that way, and fighting for accountability and to try to represent my clients. And my main, so I've been an attorney for 22 years, but my main client in my practice is my role as executive director of the Citizens Action Defense Fund. Citizen Action Defense Fund.
All right, there you go.
Coffee was a little too...
No, that's good. That's good.
And so it's an organization that is really a champion for accountability and hope here in Washington State. We like to litigate against government agencies. We sue the legislature if they pass unconstitutional bills, and we sue the executive if they do unconstitutional things.
Right.
So we're really, really active in the state.
That is awesome. So you're really standing up for we the people and the Constitution. And this is the thing. This is the heart of God. In Micah 6:8, it says, what does God require of us? That we walk humbly, love mercy, and justice. Justice, mercy, and humility are the three things God requires of us. And so he loves for things to be done right and in order.
Absolutely. And it's amazing to me the number of times, too, working here, just doing the work that we've done, where the government acts like the rules don't apply to them, that they want to hold the people to a certain standard, but when you try to apply the Constitution or the law to them, they really, a lot of times feel like they're above the law, and that's just not the way the system's supposed to work. The government answers to the people, and so to the extent that my organization can help hold them accountable by making sure that they follow the Constitution and the rules, that's what we want to do.
So what I'm hearing is the left seems to have the ability to mobilize the attorneys, mobilize these units very quickly. I'm hearing from you and a couple other organizations that you guys are all taking a stand to say, you know what, the right needs that as well, at least to have some conservative. And I don't even know if it's right or left or if it's just like Constitution, non-Constitution. How would you define that?
I definitely think that there is a different perspective that the left and the progressive folks have with regard to the role of judges, especially. I think a lot of times their policies that they want to push are not necessarily popular, in part because people have to live in it. If you've got a soft on crime approach, folks have to live with that in their communities, and they're scared when they go to Costco that they're in the parking lot that something's going to happen to them, and that, or they're worried about their neighbors, and they have to live with those policies. And so I think a lot of times they have sort of an ends justifies the means in terms of, well, if the judge reaches the right decision, even if he's not following or the government's not following all of the courtesies they're supposed to do or the rules they're supposed to do, that the process doesn't matter as long as the end justifies the progressive goal that we've got.
Right.
And that is, quote, justice. And I think a conservative approach is the reverse, that you need to be sure that you're following the process and you're following the Constitution and the rules, and that the judge's role is not to serve some ideological end, but to make sure that the law as passed by the legislature or as passed by the people in initiative is implemented and, you know, just call balls and strikes.
Yeah, that's good. Now, you have some cases that you're working on. Tell us about those.
Sure. So I'll just mention, you know, a few of them pretty quickly. We've got a bunch that we're working. We've got a great team. I've got an associate general counsel and a director of operations and communications. And so we've been working really hard. But one that I'm really excited about that's coming up is my first state Supreme Court argument. It's in a public records case.
Wow.
Against the governor's office. We won at the trial court level, lost at the appellate court level, but it involves billion-dollar negotiations with public sector unions where we asked for the records after they had signed agreements, but before the legislature funded the agreements. We just wanted to see a copy of the original offers. And the governor's office took the position that not only did we have to wait until after the legislature passed the budget, but we had to wait until the governor signed the budget into law to get any of that information.
Wow.
Even though we had signed agreements, and that's not what the law said. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to argue this state Supreme Court at 9 a.m. on February 27th.
And okay, so here we go. So we do prayer tours every day.
Great.
So February 27th,
yes,
9 a.m.
9 a.m.
If you want a spicy prayer tour, we take you to the Temple of Justice. I think we can sit there, right? Is it at the?
It's open
it seating.
Yeah,
and you can sit there and quietly pray for Jackson as he makes his arguments. Now I just put you on the spot, didn't I?
I very much appreciate that. Yeah. I need all the help I can get, Brian. So.
Yeah, that would be great. So that's say the date one more time.
Sure, February 27th, February 9 a.m. Wow. The Temple of Justice in Olympia.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then another case that is one that's kind of been percolating but has gotten some national media attention is our whistleblower case involving the state DOT where...
Department of Transportation.
Correct. Yeah. We're representing a guy that was one of the main economists there, had the most boring job in the world. His job was to do fuel analysis for... For revenue reports.
Right.
And the governor's office leaned on him through the Office of Financial Management and his bosses at DOT to try to force him to change his report.
Mm-hmm.
He refused to do it, and they retaliated against him. So
wow.
We've got that set for trial in August. That's right around the corner.
So I'm fixing something. You did a hand gesture. I must have had hand gestures on. It zoomed really close on your face. So let me fix this really quick. Keep going.
Sure.
But let me turn off hand. I didn't know I had hand gestures on. So we'll go more. Turn off. There we go. Auto framing off. Okay, there we go. All right, keep going.
Okay, sure.
Sorry.
Do we need to edit that? Or
No, it'll be fine. It just kind of zoomed in and I took it back out. So.
Cool.
So say that again. He DOT, a guy?
Sure. So we're representing a guy that had, as I said, the most boring job in the world. He was the economist, one of the main economists at DOT, and his job was to do these fuel and revenue reports that they use for budgeting. And he realized that the governor's cap and trade program was going to impact the cost of gas 40 to 50 cents. And they've tried to get him to change his report because the governor was saying that it was going to have no impact on the cost of gas. And so he refused to lie, and they basically forced him out of state service. It was a non-political job.
Right, right.
So we've got that set for trial in August. That's right around the corner. And
what level is that one at? Is that...
So that's still at the trial court level.
Trial court.
Yeah.
So people may not know, but there's trial court, and then there's the...
Appellate court,
and then there's the...
Well, so you have two levels of appellate court. The state Supreme Court's the highest, and then there are courts of appeals below that.
Okay.
And so you can...
See, I didn't even know that, so I was like, that helps me out. Okay, cool.
And then ultimately the U.S. Supreme Court.
The U.S. Supreme Court.
Where I'm admitted, but I have not yet had an opportunity to argue. But maybe I'll get a chance with one of these cases.
And I'll be like,
That'd be a neat opportunity.
That would be. All right. What else are you working on?
The only other thing I'd mention would be our suit involving Brandy Cruz, which is also another public records one. Actually, there is one other one I did want to mention. But so that one is percolating through the system. And, you know, she had asked for some records and they delayed what we know that they had the records within just a few days and they sat on them for 5 months and delayed them until after the general election where the council member was. That she wanted the records from was standing for election. So that was you know, not a great deal and violated the Public Records Act. But the other one I did want to touch on briefly was the one we just filed in conjunction with the Washington Policy Center, Todd Myers. And it involves a suit against the Department of Ecology and Commerce There's a statute that says they have to issue a report on carbon emissions. And the language in the intent section of that is that it's this existential threat. We have to have this information. There's, you know, the legislature made it very clear that it's a very big deal. Mm-hmm. Well, Ecology has not issued the report. They've either been late or they've had very little information. And part of it is the information is showing that carbon emissions are going up despite all of these very expensive programs mm-hmm. that we're spending that's supposed to change that. And so the most recent report they issued, they didn't include the last 2 years of data, and we wouldn't get that if they continued on this course until 2029. And so how can you know if you've got good policy? How can you know if what you're doing is working or worth the money and the expense, and especially to the taxpayer, if you don't have the data that you're supposed to have?
So from a farmer boy from Yakima who's a pastor, mm-hmm. what I'm hearing is people are pushing down information that you can't get to.
Correct.
Over and over and over again. And we won't assign motive. We don't know what the motive would be, but it would appear to be that maybe they don't want the truth to get out, or they don't want a piece of that information to get out, and that delay then sways public opinion because they don't have all the information. Am I accurate?
That's it. And then so what we do is we file a lawsuit and say, court, the law says they have to give us this information, mm-hmm. Make them give it to us. But it does, you would say you don't know their motivation, but what's interesting is every single one of these instances, the information benefits them politically not to share it, right?
And right.
So, you know, you can kind of get a hint from that.
And that's probably, I'm a pastor and you're an attorney.
So you can kind of read between the lines.
But. Yeah, you can. You can. Well, Jackson, anytime that you want to come on to the Washington Defender podcast, we would love to have you. And just keeping us updated, we also have, just so you know, a digital studio. So we have this live one, and then we have our digital as well that you can just sign in and do it that way. So any closing remarks to our listeners today?
Not at all. I really appreciate, as I said, I love what we do. I love the work that we do. But I'm also grateful for your organization and the partnership there. And it's great to be able to use this as a way to just talk about what we're all working and see how we can work together. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, like we like to say around here, go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.